podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah! Look at that. That's five in a row, everybody. Welcome back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. How about those Padres, man? Unbelievable. Unbelievable weekend. It's good to be back with you guys. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good to see you, Benjamin.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you made a liar out of me on Friday. I did not enjoy misleading the Tier 1s.
I didn't either, man. I really didn't either. I've been pretty open and honest with the Tier 1s in all the time we've been together. But it was a very important lie. You know, it's like you teach your kids, sometimes a little white lie is okay.
So if you missed it, on Friday, I told everybody that Woods was under the weather, which was why he was not here with us to wrap up the week. But that was not true at all.
No, and it had to be a bit of an elaborate ruse. My dad was turned 70 on Saturday. And they were going to be in Austin at my brother Brent's house. And, man, you know, I just thought, I can't miss this dude's birthday. I can't miss his 70th. It's such a big one. And I love my dad so much. And the problem with him is, though, that dude listens to this radio show 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day. So the entire week leading up, we had to constantly remind each other, hey, don't say that I'm out. You guys were like, all right, we got to remember, don't say Woodsy's going to be out Friday. So we had to really play it like that. So I woke up Friday morning, you know, knowing I was flying out to Austin, Texas, and I put the show on. Now, listen, I saw some of you in the chat running your mouths. I did. I saw it, and it hurt. It stung. But I'll get over it. If you guys can get over the fact that I had to lie to you, because sure enough, man, my mom said they got in the car. They live in Tyler, Texas, and they had about a 4 or 5 hour drive. First thing my dad does, puts on the show. It's such a great way to kill 4 hours driving out. And he goes, where's Steven? And my mom goes, I don't know. I'll text him. So my mom texts me, hey, where are you? Now, she knows damn well where I am. We're getting ready to get on a plane, but I had to play along. I said, I'm not feeling good. My throat hurts. And my dad's like, oh, bummer, right? So we don't think anything of it. They finally get there. We get there. My brother picks us up. And yeah, man, I posted it on Twitter and on my Instagram. We walked in. We had the kids and Hannah. The whole brood was there. Walked in and surprised my dad for his 70th. And he was really, really surprised. And it was awesome, man. It was awesome. The boys had such a good time. Got to see my nephews and my brother and my sister-in-law and my parents. It was great. It was really a special, fun trip. But I was not sick. I had to do it. I had to do it to you guys. So it was really, really rad. I got to tell you, there's so much to tell you about Austin. Austin is a great city, number one.
I've been there once. I loved it. It was terrific.
Fantastic city. Went down to Terry Black's barbecue on Saturday.
I was jealous. Benny. I saw that. I was jealous.
Oh, my God, bro.
I was very, very jealous.
I mean, it's just next level. It's just, you can't, there's just nothing close. I'm sorry. There's just nothing close to, like, Terry Black's. It was absolutely incredible. We ate really well when we were there, certainly. But, you know, Hannah and I got our Whataburger breakfast, which is, you know, don't eat the burgers at Whataburger, eat the breakfast. That's when I praise Whataburger, it's for the breakfast. It's never for the burgers. We went 2 days in a row. But I got to tell you guys about Texas Travel Ball. Holy smokes. My nephew Owen is 10 and plays on a team called the Mustangs. And he shows up ready for his game. And I went, good God, dude. His unis look like professional uniforms. They had little Mustangs on the back of the belt loop. The pants were perfect. The unis are sick. They got all the gear, all the swag. So I go out and see the team. And we go out to this facility. It's about 45 minutes away in Dripping Springs, which is a fantastic name for a city. So we go out to Dripping Springs. And we pull into this parking lot, Benny, that's the size of Qualcomm. And I go, look at this mecca of baseball. 7 fields, all lit, all turf, stunning, beautiful fields. I go, this is unbelievable. Hannah and I are walking, because, you know, we play at Paul Ecke YMCA. They have a good field there. One decent field. And I'm looking at her going, this is it. This is the dream. This is the dream for sports parents. And sure enough, man, we walk up and I go, why are there people walking around with beers? I understand. I know some moms probably hide a little wine in their, you know, Stanley tumbler at the games. I'm hip to it. I see it. I'm walking by the concession stand and goes, hey, baby, they got claws. You want a claw? All right. I'll get you one. Give me four of them, Barry. Let me get four of them Barry claws.
That'd be white claw?
Yeah, white claw. Yeah. I'll do a six-pack of Budweiser. I'm like, what is happening? This is a 10U tournament. You're selling alcohol here. We're not there. 5 minutes. We set up our chairs. We're waiting for the game. We're waiting for the game before us to finish. Play at the plate. Guy calls him out. Safe. There's a dad walking out. He's got a long beard. Long beard. He's got a Budweiser in his hand, and he's walking towards us. You stupid mother effer, son of a bitch. God dang it, mother. And I'm like,
oh my God.
What is happening? My mom goes, is he going to his truck to get a gun? Because that's what it looks like. He was mad at the ump. So he walks, and I'm looking, and like he walks out, he's gone for about 10 minutes, and I see him walking back. I'm like, I think we're clear. I think he went to get another beer or shot of whiskey.
I'm going to get my other gun.
I'm coming back. I'm killing everybody. But I'm not joking.
Raymond.
Every dad there is just watching games, just fresh Budweiser in his hand. I'm like, this can't be good. This cannot be safe. This cannot be safe. I couldn't believe it, man. I truly was floored. And I was talking to my brother about it, and I go, so what's the schedule? He goes, oh, okay, if we win these two tonight, then we play three tomorrow. And I go, hey, man, it's like 9:30 right now. Why am I seeing kids and their parents showing up to the fields? It's like 9:30
p.m.
It's pitch black. They got the lights on the field. I go, we're leaving. My nephew, Owen, his team ended up winning the whole tournament. So congratulations to Owen. So it's 9:30. We're walking to our car. We're done for the night. We've been there 4 hours. They're coming in, bringing all their gear in. He goes, oh, yeah, dude. He goes, some of the games are delayed. So he goes, they'll start a game at midnight. I go, they're 10 years old, dude. He goes, yeah, they really don't care. So now you got parents sucking down White Claws and Budweisers. You got midnight games. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, is this good? He's like, oh, we love it. I'm like, all right. Well, I don't know if this is the best idea, but I could not believe it. I mean, I was blown. Baby, you want claws? They got claws if you want one. I'll get you some. I mean, it was bat-ass.
So what
crazy.
Happens at high school football games then?
Yeah, what do you guys do at high school football games? Like
we're talking about 10-year-old travel baseball.
It was nuts. I'm not joking, and I tweeted it, and this is true. There were two cows in the distance. They were humping. I'm like, we are fully in Dripping Springs, Texas, right? Fully arrived in Dripping Springs as I'm watching two cows mating out in center field, essentially. Let me tell you, though. These kids were so good. They were so good. This sweet kid, Jesse, he's the kid on the team, Ben, that gets asked for his birth certificate before every game. He is 10 years old.
Got to carry it with you.
His mom brings it with him. He lost his dad in an accident last year, a car accident. And he's about 6 feet tall, a tank. He hit, Ben. AJ, go get him, dude. Guy hit two tanks. He hit two bombs. The center fielder at one point, he hits one. The center fielder didn't move. He just hung his head. It was so far. And then he hits third, and he does the cross and looks up to his dad. I lost it, dude. I lost it. And they're like, yeah, his dad passed away last year. Came in, pitched, throws about 75 from the 45 feet away. It was unbelievable, man. It's a different breed down there in Texas. But man, it was so wonderful to be able to see my family and my son Beau. Bo was so sad yesterday leaving. He loves his cousin so, so much. And it was emotional and really cool. And I'm glad we got to go. Thank you guys for covering for me and lying for me. But it was a special, special trip.
Jeff in the chat says, hey, Woodsy, travel ball in San Diego is the exact same. Beer, late games, uniforms, etc. It's coming for you, dude. It's in your future.
Just lack of fields, I think, maybe is the problem. But I have to drive somewhere to play.
We don't have the land for the giant complexes. Now, the one in Oceanside that they just built where the Front Wave Arena is pretty big and
Do they have a
spacious.
Good one there?
Yeah, it's more soccer, I think, oriented than baseball. But they do have some complexes here, but nothing like... I mean, in Texas, they just have like unlimited space to put these things up.
They have a church... and a baseball facility on every corner and a Whataburger. That's it. That's all you need, I guess. So I can't believe they it's really like that. You can buy booze at kids. I think there should be a. Am I like a pearl clutcher to think that? Because I'm not a pearl clutcher. You guys know me. I don't really get.
No, you're not.
I'm not at all. And there was something about it that I went, this doesn't sit right necessarily with me because you already see a lot of like. I saw a lot
anger.
Of
there's anger. A lot of
there's
anger
a lot of
that
anger,
goes along
emotion.
With, you know, parents who put so much of their own value into the kids and whether they succeed in sports. So when, of course, occasionally they don't, some of the parents lose their minds and you combine that with too much alcohol. And, yeah, you could have, some real problems, obviously. So I'm a little hesitant about the whole scene as well.
Like I said, I'm hip to the fact that, you know, might sneak a little wine or a little margarita in a glass or something while you're watching a game or whatever. But those games take an hour and 10 minutes and you're back home. This is you're out there for 12 hours, a lot of days. Yeah. And you're sucking down 10, 12 beers. I don't know if it is am I a pearl clutcher here? I have no idea. I can't imagine I can't imagine that it ends well all the time.
I was going to say, when you get the opportunity to promote alcohol at an event where there's a bunch of kids...
Yeah, you got to take that shot.
You have to do it.
100%.
I mean, the money that's going to be generated
that's
there.
That's wild, dude. That's wild. Like, I've been to adult... I told Hannah, I go...
I'm sure, like, the Pop Warner, the youth football is probably even 10 times that in Texas as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Teach makes a good point. All that with open carry laws there. So, yeah, it's kind of dicey a little bit for me, man. I thought about it, and I told Hannah, I go, so when me and Paulie, and when we go play tournaments or anything like that, like, they don't sell booze at adult tournaments. Like, you can't go come watch us play in Arizona and buy a cold beer if you watch. You couldn't. They don't allow it. Can't drink at the high school fields.
No. Nope.
You know, obviously. I said, so she's like, yeah, but you know, this is like a sponsored event. I go, okay, but they're still little kids. Have I turned into like the old man now
a little
that, like,
bit.
Hates,
Maybe a little
that
bit.
Like hates fun or whatever? I guess, man. But anyway, so it was a little odd. It was a little odd seeing it, but it was also pretty cool. The base, the quality of baseball was really, really good. It was really fun.
They do say everything is bigger in Texas.
You're not wrong.
For good and for ill sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a big, big old state.
It's a big place.
Were the stars at night, in fact, big and bright?
They were big and bright. We had a great time. There's so many things that I can only get in Texas that I can't get here. And those are really the things other than my family that I miss. I miss really, really good barbecue.
What'd you have at Terry Black's? Brisket?
So I got brisket. Mm. I got a brisket sandwich, actually.
Okay.
I got a brisket sandwich. I got a side of cream corn because it's ungodly.
See, I didn't go to Terry Black's. We went to Franklin.
Franklin,
which was fantastic. But.
So I got the coleslaw. I got potato salad. I got banana pudding. I really went for it with the sides. I really like sides as much as the meat. And then I got, Bo loves ribs, so I got him the biggest pork ribs you have ever seen in your entire, they're about $30 each, and he crushed both of them. We had such a good time. They don't sell Big Red here that I've been able to find.
That's like Dr. Pepper, but Texas.
No, it's not Dr. Pepper.
I thought it was Dr. Pepper flavored.
No, I can't even tell you what, you ever had Big Red?
I thought it was the gum.
Nope, it's not cinnamon soda. It's a red soda, which I think has been banned. I think red dye number 4 has been banned. So I was able to suck down a bunch of that before they banned it. It's almost like a cream soda, a red cream soda kind of.
Cherry? No cherry. Just red.
It's so good.
Just unnaturally red soda.
Unnaturally red soda. It's really, really good. Whataburger, of course, I can't get here, so we have to. I get all the things that I can't get, and then I'm always so happy to fly back to San Diego. I mean, even yesterday was chilly and rainy and gray, and I just got so cozy when I flew in. I said, I'm glad to be home, but it was awesome, dude. It was a great trip. Austin's a great, great town. A great town. So much to do, so much to see. It was awesome, man. We had a great time.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back. How did everything go?
I heard you guys. Schilt was good. Darren Smith was fantastic.
Was he good?
Joined us from Barcelona, Spain, with stories of the nude beach.
Yeah. How was it?
Siesta. And
how was it? The nude beach. Did
he
say
said
it was horrible.
There was a point where, like, again, it's so normal.
Yeah.
For the locals.
Yeah.
That it's hard for us to wrap our heads around.
Sure.
He said there was a moment where his wife Leah and him were on the beach.
Were they nude?
They were nude.
They went nude.
And she said
yes.
He said there was a guy on the other side of Leah on the beach. He didn't really say how close. I imagine fairly close to her on his blanket, on his side with the hand under the ear, you know? And he asked, hey, would you like a drink? And she, like, turned over in the nude and was like, sure.
Sure.
And I was like, that had to have been a little bit uncomfortable.
He was that, like, laying close enough where he could extend his arm and give his nude wife... Someone else's nude wife a nude drink.
Yes.
Could you do it?
I don't think so.
Could you do it? Could you actually walk, take your clothes off and go, all right, babe, let's go in. Let's do this. And just lay on the beach and be like, that's just my dong. And I'm just here. wouldn't you have your hand kind of like,
probably. You're putting sunscreen on places you're not used to putting
it's
in.
It's so normal there.
You got to groom like a madman, too. You can't just walk out and be like, here I am.
But I think that's what they do. They just walk out and just, here I am. And they don't have any... They don't have any qualms about it. They're just fine with it.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. And Schulte was good?
Yeah, Schulte was good. Yeah. I mean,
I liked your fake prank call for me in the morning. I was laughing pretty hard when I was getting ready. But again, I did see all you people running your mouths in the chat thinking that I bailed on work on a Friday. I did.
Well, you did.
But it wasn't for...
It wasn't for illness.
It was not
it was
for
good
illness.
Reason.
Yeah, it was a good reason.
All right, we will set the menu for the program, obviously. Good weekend for your San Diego Padres. We'll get into the sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates and much more coming up. First, though, Woods, I'm sure you're glad to be back home to your beloved Eco Water.
You know, it is funny that you say that because I actually am. And every time I do leave and I come back, I know that I have the world's best water waiting for me. And it does make a difference. You know, it really, really does. We've had the Eco Water system for going on about a year and a half now in our house. It's such plug and play. I mean, they put it in, they install it, they do such a great job, and then you forget about it. And I will say, like, you kind of take it for granted when you don't have it. And it's been phenomenal. Eco Water, we trust them. They've been keeping water soft since 1925. They have very, very hard water in Texas. And at my brother's house, trying to get the shampoo out of my hair, you can't do it, man. I'm telling you, it makes a world of difference when you got the Eco Water system in your house. Clean water also deserves clean air. They got state-of-the-art air purification, removes 99.99% of pollutants. We got pure water, fresh air, and a happy family. All thanks to EcoWater SoCal. Call them today. They'll give you a free in-home water test. It will blow you away when you see what you're actually drinking and bathing your children in. Try the Soft Life alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. Call 760-350-3338 or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com. Tell them Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water, keeping it soft since 1925.
Good morning to Kelly Danick. Traffic next and back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Got some good news. Got some not so great news. The good news. Jackson Merrill is expected to return to the San Diego Padres today after a couple of days at AA San Antonio.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
The Padres have survived without Jackson Merrill. It was a little dicey for a while, but won their last 5 games and still managed to have the second-best record in baseball.
Crazy.
Behind only the L.A. Dodgers after Jackson Merrill's stint on the injured list. The not-so-great news Just like Pittsburgh, the weather in New York looks quite dicey. Got a text this morning from my buddy Scott, who lives there. He said, I'll be your correspondent. I just walked outside. Doesn't look very good.
Ooh.
Does not look great today. There's rain all day long in the forecast, increasing as the day goes on in New York City. So
Cool.
Just like in Pittsburgh, the Padres may be dealing with adverse weather, potential delays. You know, they did get those games in Pittsburgh, and they do find a way to usually play those games. But, yeah, it's not looking great today. It's not looking great tomorrow either in the Bronx. So, once again, another
triple header on Wednesday
impacted by weather. And I don't know if the Yankees also have an off day on Thursday, whether you could bump one to Thursday if you had to. But and then the Padres go to Colorado for games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Weather actually looks very nice in Denver over the weekend, although that changes hourly in the Rocky Mountains, so a little early to tell. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, a little weather tonight.
I always feel bad for the players, right? Because it's kind of it's a beating. You know, you're already traveling and you're pretty beaten up, and it's a long flight out to Pittsburgh. And
Yankees are off Thursday.
So yeah, I do feel bad for the players, but I'll tell you who I really feel bad for. It's the broadcasters, man. I do. it's the Sammy Levitts of the world. Now you're sitting there. You're like, all right, do I need to? I guess I have to show up at the regular time, and then I need to vamp after my, pregame show. I'll vamp for an hour and a half, maybe two, maybe three. They could do it like they do it at Texas Travel Bowl. Like Paulie said, just play three games. Start at midnight if you have to. If a 10-year-old kid can do it on a Sunday night, you're telling me the grown-ass adults that make $20 million a year, they can't do
it? You know, they'd probably rather do it. The reason why they're, of course, so loath to play doubleheaders and, you know, extra late games is not really for the players. It's the money.
They want all the money.
They lose money when they have doubleheaders. You don't get as many fans in. They want to try to play every game, and they'll wait it out because they want to make sure they get the ticket revenue for each game individually, as opposed to having to combine them or play on a day what was just supposed to be an off day, and you just don't get as many people into the stands on days like that. So that's what the Padres are once again facing. I mean, you go to the East Coast in May. This is quite common.
Tessa in our chat says, poor Sammy, he was asking for content ideas from listeners.
I don't blame him, bro.
I'm testy about it. I'm sorry. I'm in a bad mood. All these rain delays and all this extra time to fill. Man. He was definitely getting a little testy over the weekend.
Here's the guy's interview with Andy Ashby from Fantasy Camp in 2021. Enjoy. Like, bro, you have no idea what I would have done. I would have been so panicked.
Like, so what do you guys want to talk about?
All right, taking your requests here.
The topic wheel is open.
Loan Sammy our topic wheel, and it's probably a little bit, it's dusty. We haven't spun it in a while. Probably need to put a little WD-40 on that ass, and we'll give it to Sammy, and he can use that. That's actually a really good idea, Paulie. I do feel bad for those guys, man, and it's just those long, long, long days of waiting. You're trying to get the starting pitcher is in the chamber, right? You're like, I got a game to pitch, and you're delayed like 4 hours, man. So change your entire routine. It's tough, and it sucks for us too, the fans. We want our Padres baseball when we build our day around.
I think the worst part, if I was doing Sammy's job, is that even like right now, you could almost tell sometimes. Like in the morning, you're like, there's no chance we're playing this game.
Not on time.
Guess what? You still have to do the pregame
show.
Still
got to do the pregame
show. You have to do the hour pregame show. Here's our keys to the game and our pitching preview, knowing there's a 1% chance this game actually gets played.
Yeah, no doubt.
You still got to go through the whole routine. Ugh,
I got to remember, if he's dying tonight, I may call in and try to help him fill a segment or two.
That would be nice.
It would be a nice move, I think. Yeah.
Class what is it? 3:05 pregame start.
All right.
Oh, he's texting us with a little update. Yeah, he said, I didn't do a single second of pre-recorded content this weekend.
Good for you, dude.
Nice job, Sammy.
Absolute stud.
Nice job. Let me just do an abridged menu for you because I want to get to the wrap up. The 5 wins in a row remix wrap up coming up with the highlights, Jesse and Tony. It's a Dennis Lynn Monday. He'll join us at 8:35 from the Athletic. We also, we have Padres tickets to give away for when
we
they come
do.
Back. Wow.
Week long.
They're not even home for a week, and we got tickets for the reversible bucket hat game coming up on Wednesday, May 14th. So your chance to win Padres tickets. We'll figure out how we're going to do those during the break, and we'll let you know when we come back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-00046-6. For a full list of games and rules, played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Padres gone all week, but that just is an opportunity to head down to 7 Mile Casino and sit down at one of the fantastic card tables that they've got. Texas Hold'em, they've got California-style blackjack, baccarat, pie gal poker, and enjoy the phenomenal atmosphere that you get only at 7 Mile Casino.
Played a little blackjack on my phone on the plane, and Let's just say it's not even close to the feeling that you get sitting down at 7 Mile Casino playing California style blackjack. No, it's got everything you're looking for at 7 Mile. It's a smoke-free environment, which is clutch. They got great food, great drinks, great dealers, friendly staff, beautiful view out on the patio of the bay, and the best part, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Yep, TVs all over the place. Yep. If the game's on, they will have them on, and you can enjoy just high limit action as well if you are a player. And you want to play some high-limit card action, they will spread some games for you with great dealers, comfortable seats. Love it there at 7 Mile Casino Plus. You don't have to drive all the way out into the East County. It is so easy to get to, right down the 5 in Chula Vista. It is 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Got one of those corporate emails warning me not to do anything culturally insensitive on Cinco de Mayo, reminding everybody that...
Yeah.
It's an important Mexican holiday, but it's not their Independence Day.
No, that's definitely not.
That's in September.
Okay.
And you just have to be careful. You don't want to make a fool of yourself on air.
I was trying to think about how we could get you canceled today.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't even think...
There was an ABC anchor who did like a Cinco de Drinko bit with the sombrero and the margarita on air, and she got in trouble for it. So we're trying to...
Cinco de Drinko.
Right.
By the way.
So we're trying not to do
19 years old?
That.
Yeah. I don't know that I'll be celebrating Cinco de Mayo tonight.
I don't have anything planned.
Nor
today.
Do I.
No.
Well, if you do celebrate, be careful. Have fun.
Someone will be celebrating winning some Padres tickets later this morning. When that is totally up to Paul Reindl, because if you're interested in winning a pair of tickets to Padres versus Angels next Wednesday, May 14th, for the reversible bucket hat night, Paul is you, and he's going to play it now, and then the next time you hear it, you'll call 833-288-0973, and the fifth caller will win the pair of tickets for the retro reversible bucket hat night against the Angels. And of course, with Jackson returning, our sounder is
Merrill Madness.
Boom.
All right, next time you hear Donnie say Merrill Madness, it'll be your cue to call in at 833-288-0973. Padres swept the Pirates, though, with no Jackson Merrill, no Jake Cronenworth over the weekend. Playing well, won 5 in a row, and we will wrap it up right after this check of traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
Wanda Bogaerts hit hard on the ground to the left side, underneath of Hayes' glove into left field. Machado rounding third. He's going to come in to score, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead here in the first. 2-2 again to Diaz, leading off in the second inning, and he launches one in the air to deep left field. Tommy Pham going back, still on the move. He's at the wall, leaping up. Can't get it. A home run. Elias Diaz with his third of the year to straightaway left here at PNC. And the Padres double the lead. It's 2-0. No balls and a strike the pitch. And Bogaerts swings, hits it on a line to left field. That's a fair ball. Going to bounce and roll all the way to the wall. Lockridge walks home. Arise rounding third on his way. There will be a relay to the plate, but it's got no chance to get him as he slides in. And now Bogaerts, as the throw got through the catcher Davis, heads to third base. A two-run double and a 4-0 Padre lead. Hard hit liner from O'Neill Cruz up the middle. And Bogaerts from the outfield grass handles it on one hop and throws him out. 2-2. Here's the pitch, and McCutchen swings and misses strike three. Adams strikes out the pinch hitter to end the game, and the Padres have once again swept the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, he was really good. Threw the ball for 5+ and controlled the strike zone, a lot of good life to it, and got us some quick outs and did a really, really good job.
I mean, he's coming in, he's making his first big league start. Okay. Is that what you kind of were like, okay, if we can get this guy into the sixth and get to my bullpen, then I feel pretty good about today.
I feel good about that every day.
Mike Schilt.
Oh, Schilty.
Talking about Stephen Kolek. Hey, 5 1/3 innings.
Feel good about that every day.
I love it.
Every single day, Ace Man.
4 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Bro. And indeed, getting the win in his first big league start. Congratulations to Stephen Kolek.
He crushes me every time.
Yeah.
Every day. Man, fantastic work by Stephen Kolek. Much maligned Stephen Kolek last year. We probably said it. We definitely saw it. Why is he on the roster? Rule 5. We're back in the Rule 5 days. Just give this guy back to Seattle, blah, blah, blah. They saw something in him, and he did show a lot of flashes last year of like, ooh, man, okay, he's got that in the arsenal, and apparently has worked incredibly, incredibly hard, Ben. And, you know, they said, hey, man, after a really good spring, they said, you're not breaking with the camp. Sorry. Like, we're going to roll with Kyle Hart right now and, you know, need a little different look for a lefty, and you're going to have to wear this one right now and continue to work on your craft, and he did. And to come up and get his first big league start, I get it. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates. That being said, they still got some dangerous guys in their lineup, and I thought he navigated it really, really well. Really well.
First, couple of things. As Mike Schilt shared with us on Friday, he actually broke a little news.
Oh, did he?
Doesn't do often, but the juggling of the starting rotation, instead of waiting to have Kolek face the Yankees on Tuesday, they moved that day up to Sunday so they could have Pivetta, King, and Cease go against the Yankees.
Well, it's that strategy we talked about last week, Benny, on the roundtable of like, okay, they did this for the Giants. They're doing it for the Yankees. They're doing it against the better teams that they feel maybe.
And the more I think about it, I don't know if it was so much to line up your best pitchers against the Yankees, but give Stephen Kolek
a little softer landing.
A little softer landing for his first start, yeah. Other than, hey, there's Aaron Judge.
No.
Welcome to your first start, Stephen.
Yeah, and you're pitching in a bandbox,
yeah.
You know, and oh, by the way, there may be massive rain delays and everything else. And like, it was a good soft landing, yeah.
And there
for
were a couple
first big
league
start.
There were a couple of balls that might have been homers at Yankee, yeah, Stadium that were not in Pittsburgh that worked out for Stephen, but he threw well. He said, after the game, you know, starting in the big leagues is a totally different animal,
oh,
because,
yeah,
every time you go through that order, it gets tougher,
yeah,
and tougher. And I thought really good insight on the television broadcast yesterday with Don and Mudd, as they talked about how Michael King has kind of passed along the knowledge that Joe Musgrove passed along to him,
yeah,
about,
that was cool,
you know, when to try to get a quick out, when to try to get a strikeout as you're facing guys multiple times, how to set them up in the first at-bat, for the second at-bat, and the third at-bat. The things that you don't really have to think about. When you're a reliever and you're coming in for one inning,
yep,
go for strikeout, strikeout, strikeout.
Empty the tank.
Give it everything you've got. But you can't do that as a starter.
No.
You've got to get some quick outs. You've got to know, you know, you got to know what the situation calls for, and Michael King has been, mentoring Stephen Kolek when it comes to what it takes to be a successful starter. And first test, passed with flying colors against the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday.
I can't say this enough, man. So you stare down the barrel of a 9-game road trip, man. That's a long trip. And, you know, fraught with peril of man, you don't really want to drop a game to the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're not having a good season. We feel like we're a better team. Ben, you've just taken a 9-game road trip, my friend, and you've turned it into a 6-game road trip with 3 straight wins. Now you're 3-0 on the road. So now you go 500 the rest of the way. You've had a 6-3 road trip,
which
that
is what I think
fantastic.
You were hoping. We were hoping for.
It's the dream.
I mean, 5-4, 6-3. We're going, that's not bad on this East Coast tough trip. And now all you have to do is split your 6 games.
That's
to
right.
Get there.
That's right. I mean, you just can't. You can't overstate it enough how important that sweep was. Handling business against the lesser teams is what great teams do. You've seen the Dodgers do it recently with great fanfare, right? Going in and just handling the Marlins and teams like that, right? No problem. Like, that's what you have to do. You have to run through those teams. And again, taking a nine-gamer, now turning it into, all right, let's go 4-2 in the rest of the way here, which is absolutely on the table. Hell, 6-0 is on the table with the way that they're playing right now, certainly. But yeah, man, you've guaranteed yourself with good play, with a good solid record the next six games, you've guaranteed yourself a really nice road trip coming home. So you can't go crazy and drop the next six. That would be terrible, but you don't feel like they're going to do that against the Yankees or the Rockies.
Elias Diaz with his third home
Fantastic.
Run of the season, and yeah, you know, for everybody, and I'll throw my name into the hat here.
All of us.
That, you know, said, hey, a mistake to let Kyle Higashioka go. At least so far in the early going, Elias Diaz has slightly outperformed Kyle Higashioka. Three home runs versus one home run, better OPS, I think better defensively. Kyle Higashioka was a mediocre catcher behind the plate. No, Elias Diaz is not going to the All-Star game for sure, but I think he's been better than we kind of expected when they started. Maldonado's been all right.
You know? He's hurt, too, by the way.
So far, so good with the Padres catching core. Again, you know, for an eight or nine hitter, which is what they've been, it hasn't been too bad. And, you know, credit to A.J. Preller for doing something that we all kind of criticized in the offseason that's worked out all right for the San Diego Padres so far.
Absolutely. And again, the way that he's handled the pitching staff cannot go without praise. It just can't. And getting, you know, Stephen Kolek through his first start, the way that he's worked with Michael King as well, Benny, he deserves a lot of credit, and he should get a lot of credit so far.
The stars also came through. Xander Bogaerts capping a pretty good weekend with a 2-for-4, 3-RBI performance. His second 3-RBI game of the week after having none since 2023.
Needed it.
That was good. And then Manny Machado has quietly started to heat up as well. 3-for-4 with a walk yesterday, getting his OPS over 800 now for the season. And there are signs that as May hits, Manny could be going into one of his, all right, Manny's starting to get locked in. Even after he started yesterday's game with a bloody nose and an 0-1 count.
All right, so I was dude, I was at the airport going through security, line in history, finally sat down, and I put the game on. Now, I missed this. What happened? Why did he have a bloody nose? What happened?
So he, like, wasn't in the on-deck circle when Arise was up to bat.
Okay.
And Rise, whatever, he's done. So Manny's up, and they're just waiting, and their camera's kind of panning around. You're like, what's going on? And they said that the umpire was, like, calling for Manny to get out there, and they said it looks like he might have a bloody nose because he was working on his nose. He was shoving some tissue or whatever up there trying to stop the bleeding, and they showed him it looked like he was on the steps or right by the dugout. He's like, you know, give him one sec. I'm coming right now. One sec. Just got to shove this up there and go.
I got a bloody nose.
And the umpire said, sorry, buddy, we got a clock here. And so they banged him for a strike.
In Little League, they shut that whole thing down with a bloody nose, right? Yeah. Like, they're going to bang you for a strike. In the big league.
So it's a 0-1 count. Manny finally steps into the box, down a strike already, and just ropes the very first pitch he sees right down the left field line.
Amazing. He's like, oh, okay. All right, 0-1. No problem. Yeah, man, I was able to catch most of yesterday's game. We took off. I think we were up 4-0, and when we landed, made sure to check that we did, in fact, win that game. It was a big one to complete the sweep. You know, beat a couple lefties, too, Ben, which was kind of the knock against the San Diego Padres, even though Bailey Falter, and we'll talk about that game coming up, even though he looked really, really good, and Manny touched him up and got the pods on the board. But yeah, Andrew Haney, who had been dominant this season, they got to him early and were at bullpen. Could've, was brilliant.
Could have scored quite a bit. They left the bases loaded twice. Could have really broken the game open early. And, you know, sometimes it comes back to haunt you when you don't add on, and the Padres, you know, get those four runs in the first two innings and were never able to add on. Doesn't matter, though, with the pitching staff and the bullpen that the Padres had.
And the eighth shutout for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, which
Padres.
Is ties the MLB record through 33 games. Padres are 22-11 with eight shutouts. And it hasn't been done since 1972, the last time a team had eight shutout wins. So we're going back to the, you know, almost to the higher mound, deader ball era, the last time you've seen this many shutouts. And, you know, really, the Padres starters have been good, but I wouldn't say great. You know, Michael King's been great a couple of times. Nick Pivetta has been really, really, really good.
Yeah.
But it's a bullpen that, you know, hey, if you ask a starter to get you five shutout innings, a lot of guys will occasionally give you five shutout innings. It's taking that home the last four that's usually the hard part. But once again, this time it was Jeremiah Estrada, Adrian Morejon, Wandy Peralta in a slightly higher leverage situation. Get a 1.35 ERA this season.
That's fantastic.
For Wandy
man.
Peralta. And then Jason Adam. I saw some people complaining that Mike Schilt went to a higher leverage reliever in a 4-0 game against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No problem with
Adam
it.
Adam did get into a little bit of trouble there. The on-deck circle, the tying run came up. Robert Suarez started kind of loosening it up just a little bit. But then, of course, Adam got out of the jam and finished it off as the Padres win it 4-0 over the Pittsburgh Pirates, their fifth consecutive win. And, of course, remember, that comes on the heels of that four-game losing streak. I mean, it's not often that you can immediately erase all the damage that you did. And then some.
Luis Arraez, MVP?
He certainly has made a difference returning. I mean, you know, I don't think it's just a coincidence, Paul, that the Padres play better with Luis Arraez. I mean, you saw it's the vibes. I mean, there are tangible vibes somehow with Luis Arraez back in the lineup. I saw Manny hugging him the other night and just how it seems to change things. Plus, he's also red hot. I mean, he started out, what was it, 0-for-17? Something like that. He's hitting .306 now. And that's with an O. And there's not, I don't think there's anyone else in baseball that has an 0-for-16 Jag who's hitting over .300 like Luis Arraez is. So he's made a big difference in his return to the lineup. And I can only imagine that Jackson Merrill will make a similar impact upon his return, hopefully today, for the San Diego Padres.
It's so sexy, the thinking about Jackson Merrill back in the lineup and just how much longer the lineup gets with him in it. I mean, it's like adding two players, essentially. And I'm so excited to see his return. And hopefully he continues to mash like he's been doing down on his rehab assignment, you know, hitting the ball hard, running hard. Leg seems to be feeling great. So knock on wood that these guys can all stay healthy for a while.
I will say I liked having Lockridge in the nine spot.
Sure.
Assuming, you know, Merrill probably in there.
He had some big hits this weekend, too.
Even against the left, he did. I wouldn't mind seeing Iglesias drop to nine, leave Diaz at the eight spot when he's catching.
This catcher at the nine is making me nuts. It's like it's just kind of clogs it up. But, oh well, man, I can't complain about a five-game win streak right now. Second best record in baseball.
All right, we'll come back. More Padres talk from the rest of the weekend in Pittsburgh. Don't Do This is ahead as well. Ben and Woods continuing on a Monday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.